You have a copy of God's Word. We're going to continue this morning in our text in Genesis. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 3. We're going to be looking at verses 9 through 11. Again, Genesis chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. And we start with verse 11 because verse 12 and 13, God's still going to be asking them questions. But we want to start with 11 before we get into each party, the man and the serpent and the woman, and when it actually is going to get pretty much cursed by God or get punished by God. So we stop at 11 here today. We're going to finish up the next few verses here in the next few weeks, Lord willing. So today we're going to focus on 9 through 11. And I'm going to start at verse 8. And like I say, we'll stop at verse 11. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden. They is referring to Adam and Eve. In the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord and God among the trees of the garden. Verse 9. There's blood clause here. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" Verse 10. Adam responded, and he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" We'll stop there, and I know the story's getting good. I know you guys want all of it, but we'll stop there today and deal with these verses, and Lord's willing, we'll take care of the other verses here the weeks ahead. Let me pray for us and ask the Lord to bless this time and bless us as we walk through this word together. Our Father God is in heaven, Lord, who has sent your Son, who is our prophet, our priest, our king, and the Holy Spirit who was proceeds from the Father and the Son. So we come right now, Lord, to the triune God to give us a word here this morning. Make your word plain here this morning that we can understand your word, that we can grow in your word, and ultimately we can see your glory in the word. So Lord, we ask you, Lord, to bless everything that's going to be mentioned here in this message. That everything we do and everything I say, Lord, is be for your glory alone. Lord, I am so weak right now. I need your strength. I need your wisdom. I need your guidance. There's no way I can preach a message, Lord, without your spirit. So go before me at this time. Anything in my notes, anything I prepare, Lord, that's not in your word, that's not consistent to your word, remove it from my mind and from my notes, Lord. And Lord, at last, let all your people here today, let them, Lord, not see Creston as a great communicator, or Creston is this, Creston is that, but let them see today that we serve a great God. Let them, Lord, see your glory here today. Establish your truths in their hearts here today. And when they fall short, let them not hide from you. But let them run to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. One person named Darren Patrick. He says this right here in the article. Our preach is so profound in our text today. We hide. God seeks. That's the Bible. His relentless in his pursuit. Again, we hide, God seeks. That's the Bible. His relentless in his pursuit. This foundation we see in Genesis 3 with sin. We're going to see this all throughout the rest of scriptures. When mankind sinned against God, mankind doesn't quickly come clean. Mankind run. We try to hide the evidence. And better yet, we even try to hide ourselves. what we see here? That every person that's a believer in Christ Jesus, every person that's a Christian, God's all after you. A lot of times people say, you know, is, you know, if you don't want God, he's not going to want you, and I don't know, all these different phrases, this and that. In actuality, nobody wanted God. We all were enslaved to our sins. We all wanted to rule over God. But we see this relentless pursuit of God throughout the entire scriptures. God sought those that didn't seek him. Where does this come from? Where is the first scripture we see that mankind hid from God? If we want to talk about hiding, we often admit this week, right? For me, it worked this week. You know, people calling me, wanting me to go different places. One part of me say, don't answer that phone. I don't want to do it. I want to be at home. For me, throughout this week, it was a week of me fighting, trying to hide from what God has called me to do, to work and care for my family. I want to hide. If I sat down and talked to each and every one of you guys here today, we can look back the past week, and we try to hide in some part of our lives. God has put us in places, and we don't want to deal with it. And what do we want to do? We want to stall time, hoping it go away by itself, and not have to face the reality. We want time to justify us. We want time to be in the place of God for us. Where does that come from? It comes from our text from last week and our text today. That we hide, but God sees. And that's what happened today. Well, last week we talked about how God came in the cool of the day. God came. He sought after these two people that have sinned against him. And this is going to be the tone throughout the rest of the Bible. So now you guys have a foundation over all of this hiding and seeking. Hide, go see, you know, y'all play. This is where all this comes from right here in Genesis 3. So we're going to deal with this text today in 3 points. Man tried to find his own safety. That's why they're hiding. Why are you hiding? You're trying to find safety. Trying to find shelter. Right? I remember when I was a kid, you know, the storm, and I don't know if they do it now in the school, in the hallways, you get down, you put your head down for thunderstorms and all this. And we try to hide and try to protect, trying to find safety. And that's the same thing I'm getting at here, is that man tried to find his own safety. Point number two. Well, point number one is going to deal with verse 9. Point number two is verse 10. Man's safety would not be sufficient. No matter how far you try to find safety, right? It would not be sufficient from a holy, righteous God. And point number three is going to be very interesting. There is no safety in pity, but it only can be found in Christ. But it only can be found in Christ. Adam and Eve is going to try to use pity. Try to, you know, they set them on puppet doll eyes, right? Try to get them eyes blinking and everything when they do bad. And trying to get God in actuality to have pity on them. And so they're going to try that approach and still not come clean. So if I can name this mess today, where do we go to find safety? Where do we go? So let's jump to point number one. Man try to find his own safety. But the Lord God called to man and said to him, where are you? We see the first question from God in all scriptures. You notice that. Have you guys seen a question mark in chapter 1 and chapter 2? The first question in the Bible. Well, we had a question with, you know, with serpent and all them going back and forth. But this is the first question from God. Okay? This is the first question from God here. So far, God has commanded the earth to come. Let it be. Uses this cow Joseph in Hebrew. God called things into existence and he commanded to be. And everything comes. Light comes to be. And we see in the fourth day, there was no stars because God was actually lighting the earth with his own glory. So stars wasn't there lighting. It wasn't even sun that was lighting the earth. You guys thought about that. And day one, it said, let there be light. It wasn't even sun. So where did the light come from? And we talked about that. God gave himself as a temporary life here on day one. Then day four, God kind of put stationary lights. He put the sun, the stars, and everything else to bring light. I interested in fact in learning Lena Homeschool that the moon, and you guys probably know this, so don't talk about me. I hear the moon doesn't have any light to it. The moon just reflects the sun light. So y'all knew, I didn't know. Sorry about that. You know, DeMaio probably was, you know, DeMaio didn't teach me that in class, so. But yeah, that was interesting. But here, it was no star. God commanded things to be. And he set all of these things up. He didn't dominate the sun. It wasn't like too dark for God. I mean, God existed in eternity past. You know, he didn't need a sun. So God created a sun. He created stars. He created all of these things. And we found out the whole purpose of this is for God to display his glory. For everybody else to see what God, who God was, or to see what God already existed in God from eternity past. The Father, Son, and Spirit saw this already, their own glory, right? But now he invites us to see the glory with creation. So all the creation is shouting out and tells us in Psalm 19:1, the heaven declared the glory of God, and the sky above proclaimed his handiwork. Everything is testifying about God.
Amen.
Everything is. So we learned a few weeks ago how God has shown his glory in all existence. But also now we learn that mankind didn't listen to God, didn't obey God. You notice too that God didn't have to ask mankind any questions so far, right? I mean, all the questions of the serpent going back and forth, because God commanded Adam to care for the garden. He did it well. God didn't ask, hey man, hey Adam, why you didn't till that ground like I told you to, bro? Or Adam, I told you to name them animals. Why the giraffe don't, why you didn't name the giraffe? Or whatever the name is, it is giraffe, but why you didn't name it? God didn't have to go behind him and check on him. He didn't. He didn't have to ask him why these things didn't get done. Adam did everything well. He even cared for his wife in Genesis 2:25. He cared for his wife well. Adam has done everything well. So God doesn't have to go back and ask him any questions. Why these things didn't get done? Why did you do these things? Because Adam was actually faithful. Whatever God told Adam, it got done. Adam was faithful. And by Adam and Eve honoring the Lord in Genesis 2, the Lord was honored. But now we see the first question in scriptures given to mankind. And this question right is given to after mankind has disobeyed God. This question deals with judgment that's coming upon them. And Moses, using his covenant name, Lord God, in our text. We know Moses wrote Genesis. God has given his word to Moses. Moses wrote these things down. And Moses uses his covenant name, Lord God, again. And he calls man. He calls man, not woman. And the reason for this case introduces to the federal headship. Adam is our federal head. He represents God on earth. So God goes to man, the representer on earth, to question man of what's going on. So God goes to Adam. They ask Adam, where are you? And this picture right here, James Montgomery Boyce, kind of describe this right here as a sense of a court, like the bench. How God comes to them and asks them to come forward. Because you know they ain't come forward themselves. But God asks them to come forward. And God is ready to question them. It's very familiar, isn't it, to Revelation, isn't it? On that day when God come back in all glory. When unrighteousness be before him, how God calls them and God judges them right before him. So we see right here the nature of God. The word we use, what Zoe used this word, It will be the word called immutability. There you go. That God doesn't change. He doesn't change. He's consistent. If this is his character in Genesis 3, this is going to be his character throughout the rest of the Bible. Same thing. How God comes to seek out his people. He done it here. He's going to do it through the rest of the Bible. The same way about God's character here. If God coming in to judge mankind, he's going to do that throughout the rest of the Bible. We talked about it in the back earlier when the question, God's asking them, where are you? Well, Jesus does the same thing throughout his ministry. He asks these Pharisees questions that's trying to trap him. They asking them different questions. They're trying to throw things at Jesus. Jesus is asking them questions for them to see their own heart. Then Paul picks this up. Paul does the same thing as well. But where do they get this from? They get it back. They go back to Genesis 3. God is asking them these questions for them to see their own heart. In actuality, God shouldn't even have to ask any questions. If mankind's heart was repentant, they would have went straight to God. But since they didn't go straight to God, Adam is trying to avoid repentance and trying to find his own justification. If Adam would have repented and turned to the Lord wouldn't even have to come to him and look for him. Adam and Eve ran from God again so they can justify themselves. For them, at this moment, they didn't believe in sola fide, faith alone. They thought faith and something else would take the place of what God's judgment is going to do to them. So what did they do? They tried to find justification in faith and somewhere else to find their safety. So what they did, they hid from God. What we learn in our catechism, that you cannot hide from God. God knows all things. In this moment, they're thinking that God doesn't know all things, that they can actually hide. They're thinking that they can justify themselves by running away from God, so God will eventually forget and not bother them. The farther away from running away from God, hey, he might eventually forget. Well, he might not even just find me. And I'll be justified. I can go on like everything, nothing happened. Go back to the garden. I'm still going to kick the serpent out now. It, you know, even though sin came. But hey, I'm going to go back to the garden and act like nothing happened. That's how they wanted to do it. They wanted to act like nothing happened. That's what they wanted. But God being righteous and glorious. By him being a good God. And a righteous God that's consistent in all his ways. God cannot allow sin to go unpunished. One person says, this is the question, where art thou? Implies that the Lord was aware of their endeavor to hide themselves from him. God was aware of what they're doing. Some commentaries, you guys might not believe me on this, a lot of commentaries, a lot of people are saying, where art thou? It's kind of more of presenting God as an enjoyable God. Like, I am happily looking for you. Like nothing happened. Where art thou? I was kind of displaying God as, God is not coming to judge them. God is coming to let them know he's still their friend. He's still a friend of God. But I see there's a difference right here. I see God is coming for vengeance. The reason why this, if they took it that way, that God was going to come and just be their friend and smile, why did they even go hide? If God wasn't going to judge them and God was going to come to them, hey, it's just grace going to be given. It's no judgment. It's that everything is going to be just fine. If that was the case, why did they run? They ran because they knew that God is a righteous God. And God has already told them, if they eat upon that tree, they shall surely die. So God came to them for vengeance. And what the scripture tells us, vengeance is the Lord's. Note the Lord came from vengeance. to discipline those who have sinned against him. Because Adam and Eve and the serpent are now considered enemies of God. So what do they want to do? They want to find safety. But they think they can find safety somewhere else outside of the Lord. But family, they can't find it. Earlier we talked about they hid fig leaves. We're going to talk about they hid short leaves. And they're going to still consider themselves naked. No matter what you get to try to hide yourself, Adam and Eve, you cannot hide from God. And family here today for us. Even for they're in Christ. When we sin against the Lord, a lot of times we don't think we can approach the throne of grace. A lot of times we run from each other. Especially accountability partners. Right? Especially from those that held us up to a high standard. We run from them. We run from them and hide from them. Because we want to protect our own pride, our own image. We hide from them, but we hide because we don't see that God gives an abundance of grace. So we run trying to find safety in something else besides God. Family, there is no rest outside of Christ. There's no safety outside of Christ. There is only safety in Christ. And these have been my favorite words the last few weeks. It's okay to run. It's okay to run. But where are you running to? Are you running to the throne of grace? Are you running to something else for safety? Family, we can run to Christ. No matter how many times you sin, it's more grace there for you. Now, for those that are continuing sinning, don't have any fear of God, they haven't repented, they say they want to run to God, and just that question will be, are you a true believer? Yeah, you ask that question. But it is a true fact that Christians sin. We do fall short. We do. We're not this professional, this Methodist professionism. So when you come to Christ, that everything's going to be done right, you'll never sin again. It's a stream of Methodism that believes that once you follow Jesus, you will never sin again in your life if you're a true believer. And that's not biblical. It was many people that Paul was going back and forth with throughout the scriptures, encouraging them. Family, we are weak and we're feeble. We need God's grace daily. The more we sin, we run to Jesus. We run to Him. We rest upon Him. And our failure will rest upon Him and not something else. He is our safety. We see this all through scriptures that we can find safety in the Lord. Psalm 18:2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and my horn and my salvation, my stronghold. He is our stronghold, David tells us. We can run to Him. He's our deliverer. Isaiah 25:4, if that's not enough for you. For you have been a defense for the helpless, a defense for the needy in his distress, a refuge for the storm, a shade from the heat, for the breath of the ruthless is like a rainstorm against a wall. Family, He is a defense for the helpless. Are you running to Him? The helpless. That's us. When we sin against God, that is us. Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Help in trouble. In trouble. When we are in trouble, He is our help. Amen. We don't have to run and sin as an enemy of God. Christ has reconciled us to Himself. No one can separate us from Him. Why do we run in times of trouble away from God? Family, we run to God. Again, Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is our strong tower. The righteous run into Him, to it, in His faith. The righteous runs into it and is safe as a strong tower. Family, where are you running to? Where are you running to? Psalm 91:2, I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. What are you trusting? Are you trusting your works? Psalm 71:3. Be to me a rock of a habitation to which I may continually come. You have given commandments to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. This thing is rock and his fortress, military terminology. The fortress that no one can come against, this fortress. God protects this fortress because he's our rock. 2 Samuel 22:3. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge, and my savior. From violent people you save me. And the violent people might even be our own selves. Have y'all noticed how many times this is all throughout Scripture? Let me say a few more. Let me help you guys out a few more. Help myself out too. Psalm 16:1. Keep me safe, my God, for you I take refuge. Psalm 18:30. As for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him. Does this sound like, you know, God is going to cast us away forever? This language here? When we're in time of trouble for believers? It doesn't sound like it, does it? It says we can come to him. Psalm 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Not the man who takes refuge in himself. The one who takes refuge in him. But I will sing of your strength. In the morning I will sing of your love. For you are my fortress, my refuge in time of trouble. Psalm 59:16. When your job is getting on your nerves, your job make you frustrated, where do you run to? Do you take refuge in him? Psalm 91:4. He will cover you with his feathers. Under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. Psalm 118:8-9. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. You say that again, right? It is better to take refuge in the Lord than trust in princes. Proverbs 35, last two here. Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Nahum 1:7. The Lord is good and a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in him. Family, why did I read all those verses here this morning? Because we need to hear those verses. Because we are so quick to run on Monday morning, right? Or even Sunday evening. We are so quick to run. We don't have it figured out. We don't have it figured out. If we have it figured out, we already have our new bodies. We don't have our new bodies getting ready to enter heaven right now. Family, we have our old bodies that continually sinning against God, continue running away from God, but God is telling us that we don't have to run from him. We can take refuge in him. This is the same God that had right there with Adam and Eve in the garden, but they ran from him. They could have took refuge in him, but they ran from him. Family, we don't have to run from him, but we must run to him for safety. Point number two. Man's safety would not be sufficient. It says in verse 10, and he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was not naked, and I hid myself. Again, they're called to the bench now. They're in court. God is standing before them. Now they're trying to mumble over some words, trying to explain themselves before God. But again, we see the same thing right here. Adam had a chance to come clean. Man, hey, God, hey, I did it. I didn't care for my wife. Eve, go ahead and come clean. We came clean. Hey, I didn't care for my wife. We ate. We did this, God. They got a chance to come clean here. But they didn't. He heard the Lord and he was afraid, it tells us. He knew he did wrong. That's why he was afraid. And mom, some people, when they share the gospel with people, and they ask people, you know, about hell. A lot of times people, they still want to accept Christ because they don't want to go to hell. They don't want God, right? They don't want, really want God. But they want to use God so they won't have to get the consequences for not following God. So if you don't want hell, so hey, yeah, I believe in him. But their lives are contrary to following him and loving after him. I think that's kind of the nature here. They don't want God's wrath here. They don't want, they want to come at, they want to come out and being afraid of God, like inferiors of him, of God, but they're truly showing they don't want God in this moment. Later on, we'll find out later on when God's going to give them new clothing, right? He's going to show you that God has forgiven them. We're going to find that out later. But right now, what we're seeing, though, is that they're not wanting God in this moment. We have those moments too, don't we? Right? But Adam and Eve, they wouldn't have to worry about being afraid of God if they obey God. And we as a church, we love to praise the Lord when everything's going well. And Adam and Eve, you know, they've been praising the Lord in Genesis 2. And, you know, and they might have had a little rhythm, clapping hands, whatever the case they might have done in chapter 2. Everything part was so well in chapter 2. But now they don't see the joy that's in God here in this moment. And I think the same time for us, too. A lot of times when we sin, we see ourselves as enemies against God. When we don't see the multitude of grace that we found in God, so what do? We get afraid when we know that we just have dishonored the Lord. Then we try to find something that we can enjoy beside God. We turn to things to further encourage our rebellion towards God. We turn to pride. We turn to lust. And other things to take the place of God. When we feel like we are sinning against God, we can't find that pleasure in God, or we know that God's going to judge us, or God's going to punish us, and we can't enjoy those sinful things that we want to enjoy, whatever the case may be, we leave and try to turn our back against God to turn to something else that takes the place of God in that moment. And it's called an idol. And these places might seem safe in the moment. Pornography might seem safe. Going to friends that actually encourage more gossip might feel safe. All these things might feel really safe for us, and it might feel good to the flesh for that temporary time, but it's not a true safety. It's not true pleasure. So Adam and Eve, they didn't run into lust or pornography where they didn't lust after the tree. And they wouldn't hit themselves. And that's exactly what we do. We hide ourselves in things of this world. We try to over-occupy our minds so much that we can't, so we can forget about God, so we can continue in our sins. That's really bad, too. I struggled with that before. Is that when, you know, when I'm living in sin, I have skin issues going on in my life, I try to overconvince myself like God is not even here. For me to kind of eliminate the judgment that I feel like is going to come from God. And so I try to manipulate my mind and everything, like, and sometimes even like justifying my sin. I try to manipulate, well, God understands this. God understands this. And what, and for me is that the root of that is that I'm knowing God is holy and righteous. I'm knowing that in that moment I'm not. And I'm trying my best to convince myself that I am, so I won't have to face God. That doesn't make sense. Think about the story of Jonah. Jonah 1 verse 3. When God called Jonah to go to Nineveh. Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed towards Tarshish. He ran from the Lord. It tells him Jonah 1:17. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. Jonah went to Tarshish for safety. Jonah ran away from the Lord for safety. But who sought out to Jonah? The Lord. And the Lord swallowed him up by using this fish. He swallowed him up. So Jonah ran from the Lord, but the Lord found him. The scripture tells us in Jonah 2:2. This is what Jonah says after the Lord found him. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. Jonah, he would have answered you the first time when you took the ship and go to Tarshish. Jonah goes on, from the depth of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. Jonah went through all that, and the Lord heard him. Jonah 3:10. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. Jonah did all that, and the Lord answered him. Family, if he answered Jonah, family, he'll answer us. Adam and Eve, the Lord would answer you. You didn't have to hide. He would have answered you. In the same picture that Jonah quotes this, 1:17, we find out Jonah was in the fish for 3 days and three nights. That's the same text that Jesus points out in. You want to know about my resurrection? Go read about Jonah. And guess who saved and rescued Jesus from the grave? His Father, the Spirit, and even his divine nature. Jesus wasn't left in the grave. He was rescued. And think about what he was rescued. He had all the sins of his people. He was punished and put to death. He carried all the sins of his people on his shoulders. He was seen as an enemy to the Father at this particular moment. The wrath of God was placed on his only son. But guess what Jesus found? Jesus still found safety in his Father. Because guess who raised him back up? It was the Father. He trusted his Father to raise him back up. He knew that his Father was going to be there for him. His flesh and nature say, why, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me? We found out that the Father had to forsake his Son because the Father had to see that his Son had taken the sins of his people. So his Father had to see and forsake his Son to punish his Son, but the Father didn't leave his Son. The Father didn't leave his Son. The Son didn't leave Jonah. Family, he didn't leave us. This is not like Thomas Jefferson that believed that God created us and just said, this to God, he just left us by ourselves. No, God is a personal God. God walks with us. He cares for us daily. Family, when family and friends turn their back on you, you can turn to him. You can find your safety in him. Adam ran. Jonah ran. We ran. But Jonah found safety in Christ. We that believe, we found safety in Christ. So family, we don't have to run from God. Family, we must run to God. Point number three. There is no safety in pity, but safety can only be found in Christ. Look at point number 11, verse 11. He said, who told you that you were naked? Again, this is Adam and Eve, God is communicating with them after they sinned against them. Now please, and you see right here, God is pleading with them. Come clean, come clean. God already know what they done. And they fumbling over words right now. God is pleading with them, come clean. And again, they find safety in something outside of Christ. Now we see it here in verse 11. Adam now used pity. He used pity. He said that he was afraid and naked. Maybe being afraid and being naked, maybe you can skip God's judgment. Hey, God, I was scared of you. Hey, since I'm scared of you, man, maybe you might not punish me, you know? I mean, when I was a kid, and Rob said it this past week, when I was a kid, I would try to do that. I'm already crying. I try to cry before my dad and mom come even in the room. Trying to get that pity so I won't get a spanking. The sermon being recorded, so I can't say what I want to say. So for them to want to get judgment, now they're using the word, I was afraid. But we see in our verse today that God asked two more questions after they did this. And responded to Adam's response that he was naked. Matthew Poole, KJ, you don't quote Matthew Poole, do you? Okay, one KJ don't quote. Matthew Poole says this. Adam, he confessed his nakedness. Right? We see that in the text. Look at verse 10. He confessed his nakedness, which was evident, but said nothing of his sin, which, if possible, he would have hid. In see Job 31:33, they say. And he is grieved for the shameful effect of his sin, but not yet sincerely penitent us for his sin. Pooh said if Adam could hid his nakedness, he would have even tried to hide that sin if he could. He tried. But bro, God see it all, man. That's what Pooh gets at. Well, he actually did earlier, you know, early in a couple of verses up. The first thing they did after they ate, what happened? They said they sewn fig leaves together. So Adam was seeking repentance and declaring his own justification by his own works alone. He was seeking repentance in the sense of that, hey, Lord, I'm naked. Hey, that's good enough, man. Hey, can we come clean now? I'm naked. I said I was naked. I was afraid of you. Everything good. That's how Adam is kind of presenting himself. But God asked him, who told you you were naked? So like, man, like Adam, just close your mouth. Then God comes in and asks him the question, now, who told you you were naked? This is one of those moments like, well, you have always been naked, Adam. But now you are ashamed to be naked. In Genesis 2:25, you wasn't ashamed, but now you are ashamed. Adam thought he could use pity for God's mercy. But God wasn't having that. That is why God asked another question. Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat? Like God's hitting. He hitting him with it. Like, man, Adam, you cannot win in this. You can't win in this, bro. Just go ahead and tell the truth. The only conclusion for Adam hiding and knowing that he is naked is the new knowledge that he now possesses. And he uses his knowledge to play God right now. He's trying to use his new knowledge that he has to play against God. He confessed that he hid. He confessed that he's naked. But he didn't confess his disobedience eating from the forbidden tree. He's trying his best to rubber say, old school say, he's trying his best to run around the tree. He's trying not to come clean with this. Maybe he can shoot enough game on God and everything, and God, okay, I get what you're saying, Adam. Okay, I get it. My fault. It was me. I messed up. That's what he was thinking of God. But God now asks him a direct question. I gave you time to work through this, Adam, but now God asks him a direct question. Did you eat from the tree? Because I command you not to eat. Like God gave him plenty of time. Even in verse 12, he is still trying to justify by pointing to the woman. The woman you did, you gave me. This is not the true heart of all believers, is it? That's not our heart, is it? Don't we run straight to God when we sin? A true believer, they look to Christ when they sin. We turn to Him. They don't look for excuses. They don't look to try to hide. They approach the bold throne of grace. We heard in our song just a moment ago. They approach the bold throne of grace, where there is a mountain of grace waiting to be given to His saints. God doesn't save us by His grace and stop giving us grace. God saves us by His grace, and He keeps giving us His special grace. It's not like y'all family members in here. You know, you give your brother something, that's enough. I'm going to give you enough. I ain't give you nothing else. God give you more grace. It's more grace. We can turn to Him. We can find our trust in Him. Family, we don't lose our salvation when we come to Christ. But God's grace guarantees that He keeps us. That's the benefit of grace. He keeps us. If we could lose our salvation by our own works, family, we would have lost it the first day. Yes. We can't lose it because it wasn't us that made it get to granted. It's by God's grace alone. He gives it to us. In His own wisdom, He already had a plan how He's going to keep us in it. But our salvation depends on His grace, which He never takes away from His true people. So, family, when you sin, don't worry about being embarrassed by those around you. Don't worry about the man. You know, we talk about Matthew 10 today. 10. Do not fear those who can kill the body and soul, but fear Him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. You know? It's fear. But don't be afraid of those men before you. If you struggle with pornography, hey, if you struggle with lust, pride, you struggle with wanting things all about you, whatever it is, go to Jesus, and there's abundance of grace waiting on you. You don't have to hide from Him. You don't have to turn to anger. You don't have to turn to lust, money, or any of those things to try to satisfy you. You can turn to Him, and guess what? The world might laugh at you, but it's a amount of grace that keeps you. And for those that are here in Christ, that are not in Christ here today, those that are not believers that are here today, a lot of what I was saying probably didn't make sense. Well, it probably didn't make sense because you are enslaved to your sins. You are blinded by your sins. You're thinking that the things in this world are satisfying to you. The things in this world is going to lead you right to hell. Matter of fact, your own heart is going to lead you right to hell. God's judgment remains on you. That God will punish you because you have sinned against Him. God, in His holiness, He created this whole world, wanting all the glory. You have stole God's glory. And by stealing God's glory, God is going to punish you for that. And by punishing you, God is going to send you to hell forever. You will burn forever, and God is going to judge you forever. Some people say, well, the devil is going to be controlling hell. No, it's going to be God. God is going to be doing it, and God is going to judge it. Because He deserved the glory, you stole His glory. But it is hope in Christ. Christ came. He lived the life that we should have lived, that you should have lived. It was a perfect, righteous life. And by Christ living a perfect, righteous life, that Christ doesn't deserve hell. We deserve hell. But guess what? Christ took the punishment of hell for His people that believe in Him. So they won't have to go to hell. And they can receive His Father forevermore. He took the punishment that they deserve, that I deserve, and they get heaven. So for those that are not believers, turn to Christ. Turn to Christ for salvation. And by finding Christ, He will give you eternal life. Amen. Amen. Let's pray.